the grin when the ship your ship comes in, and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man that can smile when his pants are too tight in the seat. We're joshing around. My name's Lemieux.
My name's Woodell.
And we're here gonna talk about disc golf and stuff. We got an interesting show this evening. This is our second one. And Chris Young will be joining us at some point. Ask him some questions about some stuff and things as we stumble and bumble through our evening.
Yeah, it should be interesting. You know, what he has to say about the Disc Golf Vermont Tour and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Yeah, we can actually get some in-depth insight about what's about to happen.
Get more details.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it sounds like there's going to be a lot of events. You know what I mean?
Yeah, his
So,
list is massive, actually.
yeah, so it's kind of crazy. I mean, this is definitely the most that there's ever been. So it'll be kind of interesting to hear what he has to say about like his plans and everything about how to make it all happen.
Yeah.
So,
So how are you doing tonight, Josh?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good.
Nice.
Mellow guy.
What are you sipping on? You sipping on an IPA or
I am drinking a triple IPA right now.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep, it's a big beer.
I am I'm sipping on an American IPA, you know, made in New England. We're both sipping on stuff that's from New England, it looks like.
Yes.
So.
I think that's we're in New England.
Yes, we
Broadcasting
are.
from Williston and Berlin,
Berlin.
exactly, technically, right? Here,
Yeah, Berlin.
yeah.
Yeah, in the hills of Berlin.
The hills of Berlin. I'll be there Sunday. I'll be there Sunday.
Yeah, man, it should be fun. You
Yeah.
play the short course. You
Yep.
know, I look forward to playing the short course. I like it. I enjoy that short course. I almost enjoy the short course more than I enjoy the long course.
I can't say that.
I
I can't say that. Ever since I played that course, I was like, longs are the best. And then, but I knew deep down why.
understand. You just like to throw discs far.
Yeah.
That's why you like Fox Run, you know,
Yes.
all the, yeah. No, I think what it is you know, I built that short course when I first designed it with a friend of mine. We'll just call him, say, we'll call his name McGinley. He's a good friend and, you know, he can't throw that far. And so we were having like a special event here on the land, you know, Smoky Meadows Disc Golf Course, and basically, I wanted to make a course that was fun for people like him, but it was still like competitive, and so that's really where that short course came from. You
Yeah.
know, it was like, well, just because you can't throw it far doesn't mean you can't play disc golf. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? And so that's really where the whole idea of the short course came about. And that's why I think I enjoy it so much, is because it's almost like you're just throwing the disc at baskets almost every time.
It's definitely a bunch of H runs, it's a bunch of really good shots. You throw almost every angle. I mean, throw
Yeah.
big long turnovers, a lot of straight shots. There's a lot of like flat hyzers. There's a couple of weird, precarious, kind of touchy shots, like weird kind of, especially when there's no snow. I mean, in the non-winter, there's that one shot you shoot in between the trees. You gotta shoot and
Yep.
you have no real follow-through space. That one's an interesting one.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shots
I don't know.
it's a good
I think that my
find.
favorite though, still, I think that my favorite hole is hole number four on my course, the one that goes next to the barn.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I
I
really.
like one a lot. I really like the shape of one. I feel like that's
Yeah.
if I'm gonna ace a hole, it's probably gonna be one.
Okay.
I feel like I because that's just like I can throw that turnover putter, like that's like kind of my shot. That's like the one.
Sure.
That's the one I feel like the most comfortable throwing for the most part. That little baby flex with a putter. Yeah.
Huh.
Or hole like I think it's eight. On the long course,
Hole eight. Yeah, hole eight is straight and
yeah, it's
fun.
just like
That
right to the
one's
garden,
right over the garden.
yeah, to the left,
Yeah.
right?
No, hole 8 is the one that's in the middle, like the middle basket.
I've hit the basket on that.
Yeah, so I like that one a lot as well because you just get to throw it hard.
Mash it,
Doesn't, yeah, it doesn't matter if you're playing from the long or the short
it's just a
tees.
really good throw. I've hit the basket on that a couple times, actually, I think.
So yeah, sounds like Sunday should be a good time.
Sunday should be a good time.
Yeah, what are we gonna wager? $5? What are we
I
doing?
don't know. I mean, that's what I told Jarius, and then Young Bucks is out. So it's probably just gonna be the three of us,
All right.
unless Moriarty wants to come or.
Yeah, for sure. All right, sounds good.
Yeah, I'm down. Whatever. I'll do $5. I'd rather do like $20 with Chris, but
Yeah, right.
and it'll be
Maybe
with
we can
putters.
entice. Maybe we can entice him tonight.
No, I played
Have
Waterbury
one.
shorts. It's the first
The
time
white
the
tees.
first time I played that course in a long time, actually.
Yeah, it was the same for me. We didn't play that well at all.
No. I missed so many putts inside the circle, which is super weird for me. I feel that way about that right now. I feel like I've been hitting putts pretty damn good lately.
I don't know. I felt like I made some pretty good
You made some
putts.
great putts for sure.
Yeah. Was pretty happy with that.
I hit a couple good putts, but I was missing all the putts I normally make.
Yeah, for
That
sure.
hole one, I mean, hole one, it was right online. I just didn't give it juice. And that was like 50, that was
Yep.
like 45, 50. And I was like, that's usually a putt that I've been making lately. So.
I think what it was is I had it really. Besides playing my home course, I hadn't like played any other courses in a while. So I think that when we first teed off on hole one, I was like, I felt like it was a little
Oh
foreign.
yeah, dude. I think all of us threw two shots on hole one, and like I hadn't thrown in like 3 weeks or 2.5 weeks because I was like dealing with my tooth and all that, and then like throwing a disc I've never really thrown before, and then just like, what am I doing? Oh yeah, I'm playing disc golf. That's right. Drink beer. Let's go.
It definitely was strange at first, but then all of a sudden on hole two, I felt good because it was funny because you were talking about throwing putters, and I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna step up and throw this magic and aim way left, and I aimed way left and like boom, and that's what after I threw that shot, I was like, okay, I feel so much better now. I feel like so much better,
I was having my daughter watch the video with me on hole three, and then I hit that when you guys all putted right or throw, and you guys all hit the gap, and I hit first available. Like, Lily, watch me hit this tree. She's like, which one? The one over there? I'm like, no, the one real close to me. You remember that, right? I tried the forehand around the outside and I smashed the first tree. She's like, oh, Dad, really? I'm like, yeah, but watch the second shot. The second shot's real good. And I put it like 7 feet away. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, the second shot was much better than the first shot.
Because I went forehand to backhand.
So after a glitch with technology, because we are not the smartest tech guys in the world, we were talking about playing center chains in the snow from the white tees. Do
And how
you
I
like
am very bad at forehands and like to hit the tree directly in front.
that's what we were talking about. We were talking about your daughter watching you play
Yeah.
on video on hole three. That's right.
Doing.
Yeah.
I made her watch the whole five though.
She made it the whole five,
Oh
huh?
yeah, because I wanted to show her the putt.
Oh, there you
That was a
go.
good putt.
That was a really good putt, man. Like beyond good putt. Yeah.
And with a straddle too.
That's true, it
Was awkward as hell.
was.
That freaking sky guy I was throwing was straight. It wasn't stable.
It was actually quite funny how you were turning that thing
Dude,
over because
I
most of the
wasn't
time when I
throwing
watch
this
you throw
one.
those,
I wasn't throwing this one.
that
This one's
one.
going back in the bag.
Well, yeah, you got an ace with that one. You have to put it back in the bag.
Well, yeah, I just
I just
wanted
wouldn't
to
put
see
it.
how stable that other one was.
Obviously, it's not very stable at all.
No.
So,
I found another one
I
where I didn't
mean,
want to pay $50 for it.
yeah. It was funny. I was watching a Shomez today, one of those, one of the things on YouTube, and
Oh, their podcast?
Simul is on. Yeah, it was like one of their video podcast things, and they had Simon Lazzad on, and it was quite funny because he was like telling, he was like making a comment that basically Eagle McMahon sent him a message and was like, "Can you believe that they're selling these discs for $400 a piece?" And like, and he just was like, "What is happening? Is this a joke?" But yeah, I guess it was like somebody was trying to sell one of their discs on eBay for like $400.
Yep. Oh yeah, I mean anything from Discmania right now is it's just yeah, I mean stock run every stock run anything from Discmania is at least $30 to $35.
And that's funny how we keep finding those, or you keep finding those discs on websites and
Yeah, the Devil
nobody
Witch
knows about
plastic though. That's not the Inuvit plastic. It's the
it. Oh,
old
so
runs. It's
people.
the old runs, like a stock stamp Innovaplastic from Discmania is the stuff that's going at least for $30. I mean, even Enigmas right now are $30 and anywhere on Facebook world. Any traders post, any of the Discmania throwers like pages, like any of the groups. I just joined a Discraft group because I have like a couple Discraft gems and I'm like, well, I'm just gonna see how much these things are worth now.
Yeah, for sure.
You have access
You
to
want to
gems,
see
don't
my
you?
best gem?
You have another. You have
You want to see you want to see you want to see my gem?
from Discraft. Two thousand Rams. What disc is that?
It's a
It's a
warrior.
warrior, like base,
Yeah.
super soft or something.
Yeah, it's like wicked super soft. There's only 10 of them. There's only 10 of them in the whole world that
That's
exist.
hilarious.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And it was when the Rams won the Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a warrior. And this is why you keep throwing warriors.
Man, I just love those Warriors. While I was playing in the backyard, on the home course yesterday with Adam Green, and I kept flicking that Warrior, man. Just like I can't get away from it, and I kept trying the method, and the method I like for backhand floaters, but when it comes to ripping a shot, like ripping a drive, like that Warrior, man, you
On
just
a
rip
forehand,
it.
yeah,
It's
on a
like
forehand.
almost, even on a backhand, it's like throwing a driver because it's so shallow. You just rip the thing, and it's just like,
Yeah.
see you later.
I don't, that's the reason I don't, that's, I, that was my hardest thing about most mid-ranges. Like, it's like a buzz is it's like a rock's too pointy in my hand or too domey. The flat top rocks are okay, but like buzzes were like, buzzes were really good. I really liked buzzes for a long time. Then I switched to compasses, and then compasses got too understable, and they're shallow. And then I switched to gatekeepers, and then I found the method, and I was like, oh, this is like the perfect in between a rock and a buzz. Because it's deep.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
I think the is that method just has so much glide that it isn't as fast of a disc as the Warrior. So when I throw that Warrior leaves my hand at a much faster pace, I feel, than the method. So I feel like the method is much more floaty.
Yeah, method's like a really overstable disc.
But it just doesn't seem like, it's not necessarily the stability. It's more that like it just doesn't seem like it comes out of my hand like a driver.
Which is
It more or
yeah,
less
that's
comes
more
out of
for
my
your
hand like
hand. Yeah, that makes sense.
more like a putter. You know what I mean? Like the disc is just like
I agree.
floating.
I 100% agree with you because that's the reason I love method is I feel like I can throw the method like I throw my putter, but it just goes faster.
Yeah, very much so. So
Exciting.
it was pretty cool to throw it yesterday in the deep snow. You know what I mean? Because we encountered some pretty good winds, and I was flicking the Warrior and throwing the method backhand,
Yeah.
just goofing around. We didn't keep score or anything, but we were just out throwing plastic, you
Nice.
know. But yeah, I feel like we actually probably did pretty good if we were to keep score, you know.
That's not
But
bad. Yeah.
yeah, I mean, I think that that's the reality. But back to the Warrior thing, yeah, I mean, I got that disc 20 years ago, man. Like that disc I just showed you there. I got that disc at a Johnny Mack's sporting goods store in Crestwood, Missouri. And that's where that's where I basically like became really acquainted with, you know, my friend at Gateway. So,
Wow.
yeah, it was definitely one of those things. And from my understanding, there's not very many of those discs made, you know. So it just was like a happen, like I just ran into somebody, you know what I mean? And yeah, a relationship started, and I ended up with that disc. And yeah, it's kind of crazy. And so that's why I basically throw those discs still,
That makes
is
sense.
I mean, ultimately, man, like that Wizard is like, I just feel like the disc goes so well, like especially off the drive. But I mean, like in the snow and stuff, I mean, I was throwing that Magic, and that Magic was just kind of cruising. It was just like, boom. And I felt like I didn't have to throw it that hard because I'm standing in the snow and I'm like scared to throw, you know, like
Forward
hard.
shot, it's more understandable, yeah.
Yeah, so like it kind of, I think that in the snow, it definitely helps because you're like not getting as much force or drive or whatever velocity on the disc. You know what I mean? So like when you throw the understable disc in the winter, it seems to just maybe give you a little bit more flight or some more glide, that where if you were to throw that type of disc in the summertime, you might overthrow it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You
For
know?
sure.
So, I mean, that's something that I was realizing the other day when we were at Waterbury, too, was like I was really enjoying throwing the understable putter more than the stable putter. And I think it had to do with being in the deep snow. You know what I mean? It was just seemed like it was easier. So.
Yeah, I don't notice it as much, I feel, because I was throwing straighter, less stable putters and being upset that they're returning over.
Yeah, those Sky Gods though that you were throwing were turning over big time. I was quite surprised.
I wouldn't say they were
I
turning
didn't.
over. They were just going straight. I wouldn't call them turning over. I would just say they're going straight because
Yeah,
they
but for
never
some.
flip. I mean, the orange one's not a Sky God, and that's like a that's my super understable P2. That's that soft P2 that I can make do like the crazy late turn flip thing. You've seen me throw that weird ass shot, like throw it on freaking a Spike Heiser line, it flips up and goes way right.
Yep.
That's that one. But that new one, that new Sky God too, is like it still had finish to it, but just hold a straight line for a long time before it finishes. It's just
Which is kind of cool.
yeah, it's great. It's super good. I just didn't know that that's what it did. Like where that red one I have is very stable. And then it says, I'm not throwing
Isn't
Sky
it
God
funny?
threes right now, so.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, man. How you like get different versions of plastic, but you know, it's like if you read about plastic, there's no plastic that can be really the same, you know, because it's just like you can't make it identical.
Well, I
Like
think
it's
you
very.
can. It's just how you, it's the molding process. Because you can mix, because like plastic can be made exactly the same. Because it's literally a chemical compound that you can measure and correctly hit temperatures exactly the same way. You can melt that plastic exactly the same way every single time. You know, hit the numbers of grams of each part of that plastic. You're gonna make color, dye, and make it exactly the same time. It's just how, what the temperature of the room is, how the plastic cools. That's what changes the mold. So if your environment changes, which I think is what happens with Innova a lot, their environment changes, how the plastic cools changes, and that's what makes discs different.
You know, that's what Simon was saying on that on the Showmez, was like saying that they were having difficulty when they made those tilts, like they were having difficulty removing them from the mold,
Yeah, that makes
you know,
sense.
because of the like the shape of the disc. It was like very difficult for them to like remove it from the mold, so that makes sense.
Yep.
So it really has to do with the blend of the plastic then. You have to find blends of plastic that work best for certain discs or certain
Well, it's
molds.
like daggers. Daggers were like, didn't come out in gold line forever, forever. And they did a super limited run of the gold line plastic, which is like the best plastic from Lat, probably like the high end, Fusion, gold line, star, Neo, whatever, S line, the opaque, softer, gummy, durable plastic. And for daggers, because daggers are so deep and they have a huge, bead on them, and they're like, and then they all of a sudden, and they're like a different disc. They're like super domey and like, but it's gold line, so you can throw them. But it's interesting how like plastic changes. And you watch other people like flat top Firebirds, and like the reason they're flat tops is because they get flipped upside down when they're cold so that they flatten out. And like the domey ones are flipped the opposite way. And like it's like interesting how plastic cools. Thalberg talks a lot about it.
Well, I feel like that's why I stopped. Remember how you used to ask me why I stopped throwing that Thunderbird, that G-Star Thunderbird? And so what it was is I kept trying to buy more and I couldn't find any that were like it.
No.
And I was like, well, I'm not gonna get used to throwing a disc that I can't buy more of. And like I'm not, yeah. So I mean, obviously that goes back to why we bought freaking 10 Enigmas, So it's like including the 9 that you gave me and the 2 that I have in my bag or whatever. Like, yeah, I got 10 Enigmas. You know what I mean? So it's like, and the problem was, is when I was looking at that G-Star plastic, it started to become unavailable. And I was just like, well, what's the point of freaking getting used to a disc if I can't buy
Oh,
more of
yeah.
it?
G-Star
You
Thunderbirds are
know?
like sought after discs too. That's a sought after
Yeah.
disc.
And I mean, dude, I love that G-Star Thunderbird, but I mean, I was just like, well, I have one of them. That's it. That's all I have is one. And that's it. So like, the moment that I lose this, like, okay, great, cool. I
Sweet.
mean, to be honest, if I could find more of those G-Star Thunderbirds, like, obviously I'm not paying the Pokemon markup. So like, I mean, and I get it. They're good discs and they're sought after and but I mean, I think that that's one of the issues, man. It's like you try to find these discs that you like, and then you're like, what the heck? You know what I
Yeah.
mean? It's just like,
Dude, check this out. This is a Burlington beer.
hey, Young Bucks just texted saying that he's getting thirsty.
Oh yeah, I know. I just and tried to invite him to the room.
Yeah, why don't you
I did.
Yeah,
I've
invite him
invited
to the
him
room and then
twice now on Facebook, and I've called him. He just won't. Why don't you send him the anchor link too? Can you do all three of us at the same time? Oh,
Yes,
yeah.
sir.
I'm calling him right now. See if he gets on.
Yeah, no, I mean, but back to what we were talking about. I mean, it's kind of crazy, man. Like, I wish that, what's the way to say it? I wish that, I don't mind paying $20 a disc, but like, I wish I could just buy what I want to buy. And it's kind of unfortunate because obviously these manufacturers are losing money by not being able to be at full capacity. You know what I mean? It's like they got to be losing money somehow. Like, if they were at full capacity, you know what I'm saying? It's
Who? Which company?
well, like all these companies, man, because COVID is definitely restricting them from being at full capacity. Like, our friends, I don't want to name names, but we have that little private chat that we hang out with folks in, and like those guys search for buzzes on the internet for like months, and same with meteors, and like they could barely find buzzes and meteors on the internet.
Right. Chris Young, welcome to the show, sir.
How are we doing?
Good man, how are you?
Good. First things first.
There you go.
Cheers.
Cheers.
What you drinking?
Well, in honor of the show, I got actually this is a brewery I've never had before, Red Barn Brewing.
Oh, nice.
And this is a Saison because, you know, I love Saisons. And the name of it is Petit Coup Rouge. I don't know if I'm mangling that, but it means little red rooster.
Yeah. Oh,
so let's give her a try.
I'm nice. Sure. Little red, I, like they have a Red Barn, a Round Ride Red is really good. I like that beer from them.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Been waiting for this. So
wait from back in the T-Rug days. You used to have that on tap there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's nice.
Nice.
A lot of people like Saisons in the summer. I like them year round.
Yes. I would agree with that. I still have a bottle of Arthur.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. Save it for a good time.
Yes. Hopefully this summer.
Well, I think the farmers were drinking Saisons year round when they were good.
Yeah, the Belgian farmers were not just drinking them in summer.
No, they were just
yeah, drinking. For sure. Well, I think they were much lower alcohol. I think the Saisons that the farmers drank were like two percent. No, they were like 2%. So I think I think the reason why the Saison was created was to actually purify the water. Just so that they could drink the water.
They gave all the high alcohol stuff. That's why they call them Imperial IPAs. So they gave them to the, you know, the kings and queens and the owners of the farms and whatnot.
Yeah, it's like father's ales. Like the monks made 2.5% beers and then made doubles to sell.
Yeah, and then of course we, you know, Americans brought the ABV up very high. So now you
Mountain Dew Extreme freaking you know. It's the Mountain Dew Extreme. Everything has to be double, double, triple, quad nonsense.
Yeah, yeah. I
drink the Kool-Aid, so it's okay.
Yeah, this is coming in at 6.3. So that's, you know, pretty high for a Saison, really.
Well, I mean, that's pretty stable. I mean, the beer I drank earlier was 10.
Yeah.
And now the one I'm drinking now.
Yeah, but that was a triple IPA that you just drank.
No,
because I mean, I'm drinking.
This is really good, but yeah, this is the double dry hop lager.
Okay,
nice. But like, it actually is clear.
Yeah, we got a nice variety. Josh has got some Four Quarters. We got some BBQ. I got some Red Barn.
Yep.
Excellent.
Well,
yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Chris.
Yeah, is this real or are we just joshing around?
We're joshing around, but this is real.
All right. Nice.
We have to, you know, just give you shit for not coming Sunday.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey.
That's what we just have to do. I mean, that's,
you know. Yeah. I know you think I'm scared of the putter round, so you're like, he's not going to do it.
No, I'm not saying. I don't think you're scared of the putter round. I think you're like, it's just something that you just don't want to do.
No, of course I do. Disc golf? Come on.
Oh man, the smack talk.
Yeah, it has to. I have to. It's the, he's like the only one I actually talk like shit with.
Oh, come on.
Who else do I talk shit with? Waddell? I even talk shit with Waddell.
I mean, I'm sure
just some- you.
I'm sure there's some gentle jabs with Becker.
Oh yeah, with Becker too, Jeremy too. Yeah,
yeah. He started. Well, Becky's always got some good insight. Yeah, Becky's full of good insight. It though,
so and I he's just, fun. Yeah, he's fun to you know, he's fun to jab with.
I really enjoy playing with Jeremy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
But yeah, man. So,
so what's going on?
Not much, you know, just hanging out. We were just discussing how we played Waterbury in the snow the other day, you know, and that was kind of interesting because of how difficult it was just throwing in the snow, you know. So we were discussing how throwing understable putters and stuff like that compared to throwing stable putters and, you know, whatnot in the snow kind of helped out. You know, throwing in the winter, you know, obviously we're in the winter time right now. So throwing in the winter kind of changes the aspects of what we're doing, right? You know, it's like we can't like get a full run up and stuff like that. So you're trying to figure out different discs to throw and like what works.
I mean, a lot of people, you know, around the country don't know how to, they've never played in snow. Ribbons, spikes, you know, I don't know. I think it makes you a better player if you can play in any element.
It makes your footwork different. think.
Yeah, I
You
agree.
really you have to like really focus on making sure you hit your point, and you have to focus on making sure that you actually transfer your weight, because otherwise you just don't get any of that torque. It's really you have to slow down so much if you have if you're especially if you're teeing off in like snow where there's like not like true footing, and you're basically spinning on like 8 inches of snow. It makes you like, yeah, you have to slow everything down so you actually can spin off of it. Otherwise, it stands stills and you're just like trying to smash something with your arm.
It's not easy. And there's a difference between like 2 feet of pow and like a sheet of ice and like, you know, all the different elements of winter golf. So
Yeah, I mean, I feel that the deep snow is what gets me. I don't mind putting on the spikes and throwing on ice, but it's when I have to like move my feet in the deep snow. I mean, it could also be because I'm a little heavier set, but
yeah, post holing's not fun, man. That there was one ice bowl where we post holed and it was tiring, you know.
Dude, finals at Barry.
Yeah, for
Finals at
sure.
Barry. The
Yeah.
team challenge thing we did at Finals at Barry, we were up to like nipples.
Yeah, it was,
That was
you know, we
crazy.
were tromping through. I mean, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Most people
We
would be
did
like,
two
what are you
rounds.
doing?
We did two rounds, didn't we?
I think we did 27 holes.
Oh yeah, 27. It was right. You're right. Yeah. Because we
Wow, that's a
did, yeah,
lot.
and then we did this, we did the short loop.
All right. Well, so I guess a few things that we discussed, previous to when we were coming on is some questions that we're gonna ask you, and basically, you got anything you want to start with, Josh, or do you
No,
just want
you're
me to
good, man.
roll?
Roll, baby.
Okay. So obviously the new thing that you've got going on social media is this mobile trailer thing that you're building. What's going on
So
with
that
this thing?
was, you know, part when I started Disc Golf Vermont 2019. It was definitely in the plan. I didn't know if it would take, you know, 4 years or 2 years or how long it would take, but this is pretty quick. Things have moved quickly. And when I went down to visit my grandpa in November, on the way home, I passed a trailer spot and I said, all right, I gotta start. You know, I kind of looked online and stuff. I was trying to figure out exactly what size, blah, 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 all that I wanted. And I said, all right, I gotta start looking. I need to get inside some of these and, you know, really get a feel for what I want. And so I stopped there and the guy was super nice and friendly. This is in Athol, right outside of Athol, Mass. And super knowledgeable. He liked Vermont craft beer, and like I was like, all right, this guy is, you know, he's the owner operator. He's been in business for like 30 years. So I said, you know, it seems a little crazy, but I think I might, you know, get the trailer he recommended, and go for it. So that's what we're gonna do. You know, setting up the tables and everything is a lot, and breaking it down every tournament. And as I'm running more and more tournaments, it just becomes more and more cumbersome. And so with a mobile pro shop trailer, it'll just be, you know, open the doors and everything is inside. So it'll be super easy just to close the doors and get out of there or pulling in the morning. So.
Nice. So you'll be able to keep more inventory in the actual trailer and like.
JD is going to help me customize the inside of it. And get some shelving in there. You know, I reached out to him and asked him if he could help me with the inside, and getting some shelving up there for the discs and everything. And you know,
Awesome.
yeah, so
So
I'll
you'll
have.
walk inside of the actual like
I
trailer.
got waterproof flooring, so there's a few upgrades. You know, I spent a couple extra thousand on some upgrades on some lighting, making it taller, so taller folks. Like your Dave Frothinghams and Zach Podhousers of the world can get in there and feel comfortable. And so I customized a few things, the flooring being one of them, and the walls a little thicker so that I can nail into them and put in some shelving. And then we got Mauro doing the wrap job, which is going to be amazing. Yeah, pretty stoked. My truck will be able to pull it, but I won't, you know, I'm going to have to upgrade to a new truck next year. So, but you know, it's all good.
All right.
It's gonna be a cool thing.
That's awesome, Chris. Congratulations. That's really cool.
Yeah. And then the fundraiser, you know, I had Mauro do a separate fundraiser piece of art. And so that was sort of tied into the fundraiser. And then the 50 people that sponsor the trailer will get their name somewhere. I'm not sure exactly where, but you know, we'll incorporate the wall of sponsors somewhere in the trailer.
Awesome.
Will it be like on the outside, do you think?
Or I'm not sure. I know we have the two sides of the trailer pretty dialed for the most part, and then the back doors are barn doors, and they're going to open up. And I'm not sure what's going to go on the inside of those. I have a few ideas. And then you also have like the V-nose area, which, I might be able to get some names in there. So yeah, we're going to have to figure it out. I'm getting the blueprints and we're going to get it all dialed here. I'm not gonna be able to get it till, cause things are pretty backed up with, manufacturing and stuff. So probably, right around, you know, end of March, early April. So I'm not sure if it'll be fully ready by the tour start at April 24th, but we'll at least have it and work on it, you know, on off weeks on customizing it and getting the wrap job done.
Yep. So, but you look for it this year during the season. We'll see the Disc Golf Vermont trailer out there.
Yeah. And then, you know, I wanted it definitely fully ready by GMC, but I think we can do it before that.
Nice. Yeah. So you're an Innova ambassador.
Yeah.
Is Disc Golf Vermont going to be strictly only Innova, or are we going to see other brands coming into the Disc Golf Vermont?
Well, we got some Discmania en route currently, so definitely going to be carrying some Discmania. Outside of Innova and Discmania, not quite sure if we'll get into anything else. But, you know, we'll see. Time will tell, you know, what happens. But mostly focused on those two as far as discs go.
Awesome.
But outside of discs, you know, we use a ton of other companies, Grip Six and we're bringing in, going to do some shirts and some hats. I'm working with Paragon on some shirts and, getting some Disc Golf Vermont towels, getting some hats made again, some hoodies, some windbreakers, all sorts of good stuff.
Oh, awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
Nice. Have you gotten 50 sponsors yet for your trailer?
We're up to 37, I think. I just got another one. So there's only a few spots left. So I'm sure they'll be gone by the end of the weekend or something. Right.
I kind of feel like joshing around should be on
that. No, that's really cool.
Yeah,
I think joshing around.
I think, for you. So I don't know how you feel about like maybe us splitting it, but like I think that.
Yeah, you guys would have to fight over the disc, but you know.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just cut it in half. Hey,
share
we'll
disc. It'll be like, you know, yeah, we'll share doubles disc or something.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, I'll totally commit to that. I don't know if I'm not speaking for other Josh, but I think we can do that.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm down with that.
A Josh around exclusive.
Yeah, if we could. So if somehow we could like get on the front of the trailer, there.
You pay for like extra wide, you know. Can we get a microphone, you know, like a camera and a microphone set up somewhere? And
that'd be great. I mean, if you could just put our faces right on there, I mean,
I know. You're just joshing around.
Just joshing you.
Yeah, just joshing.
Yeah.
Great, man.
All right. Well, so since you were talking about like, you know, like, lack of manufacturing right now, obviously because we got COVID going on. I guess another question is we didn't discuss this last night prior, but what's your opinion of the new tilt disc?
That's the crazy overstable Simon one, right?
Yeah, flat top. Kind of feels like a firebird, but way more stable.
Yeah, I haven't touched one or thrown one or seen one actually.
No, me either.
I don't know if anyone's got one around Vermont here. I'm sure someone does, but
Clayton Davis, Nick Riley, Tyler Woods. I can name a list. But...
Yeah, I'm sure I'll see them out. I'm sure I'll see them out on the course this year. People throwing them, right?
I guess my question is: do you think it's nuts that these companies are starting to make these like, I don't want to say specialty discs, but you know, like discs that are just. They're obviously not going to be used on every shot, right? Like they're like, why would you put this in your bag?
Yeah, sort of working with their top pros to create discs that are maybe suited for them individually.
Yeah,
but I mean, even some of the fastest throwing players can't turn that disc over.
So, that's the whole point.
So like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, well, what's the point of like creating these discs? Like, is this a new innovation? Like, is the industry going to go to this, or are there other manufacturers that are going to start producing stuff like this? Like, do you think actual people that are playing in professional environments are going to use these types of discs, or do you think that it's really just like amateur? You know what I mean? Like, will there just be more amateurs throwing these types of discs
Not
rather
a,
than like
not
pros?
probably not a good amateur disc, right?
Well, I guess my point is like most pros are not going to like probably throw that in a tournament, right? I mean, would you
I guess
see,
the big arms
you know what
might,
I
if
mean?
like it's a wind, I could see like super windy, like Fox or something, where you need to keep it in bounds and there's a pretty big landing area, you know.
I
Um,
mean, yeah.
maybe a sidearm on Fox 18, you know, as your approach out over the road, you know, it's not going to turn over and go towards the pro shop out of bounds or something, you know.
Sure. No, it's just one of those things that I was thinking about because, you know, it's obviously there's a lot of powerful arms out there, right? People that can throw like 600 feet. I mean, obviously you have folks that, you know, represent your brand, you know, in Innova and you know, like Heimberg, man, he could throw it like 600 feet, no problem. So it's one of those things where it's like, wow, will these companies start creating these more overstable discs that these people can just like, you know,
I
send,
think as
you know
I
what I
think we'll see
mean?
more and more of it as the sport and discs continue to evolve. And you know, players throw further and further, and they get more and more fit, and more players are playing. You know, we're going to see more and more super crazy overstable discs, I'm sure. How much they'll be used, you know, but like you said, there's a spot in the bag, and you know, probably, you know, maybe you only use it like once every now and again, but when you need it, it's there.
It's not the newest thing in the
Yeah,
world.
I
I
mean,
mean,
I
you
guess,
have like the
you know,
Stego, which came out last year, which is like an infinite like release. That's a Drew Gibson kind of mid-range putter that literally Drew could only throw 250 feet. And then a Max. I mean, Maxes are insanely overstable. A Tilt is more of a circus trick disc. I think this Tilt is like the most overstable disc that's been made as of right now. Like Simon could throw it 250 feet.
Oh, really? That's like it's max D.
Like seriously, like that this disc is so overstable. Clayton told me that he threw it farther upside down than he did
Yeah,
like
I
the
could.
right way.
Yeah, that's
Like
probably.
this disc is like a trick shot disc for a trick shot player. Like Simon Lathaw is the trick shot player. Like,
And though
and he's
they've.
throwing plastic. The plastic that it came out in is the baseline plastic from Lat, and it's not the high-end plastic that Simon's actually has. He has like three of them that are in the actual like neoplastic or like premium plastic. So I'm assuming he'll be throwing those and they'll actually beat in to actually get kind of straight, or the ones that everyone else is through are going to beat up, beat up, beat up, and then just kind of disintegrate.
They're
That's my guess.
the first trick shot disc I really saw was the Epic. And that was the first time I saw anything that did, you know, something like there was no other disc that did it. And you know, you could throw it, you know, Lane Mason, when I played out in Eugene, he would throw it thumber and it would fly upside down forever. And I mean, he'd throw the thing like f over 400 feet. And I'd never seen anything like that. So that's, you know, it reminds me of that disc, kind of like specialty.
I remember we played provincial 2 years ago, and there was a guy on our first card that was throwing epics. And at that point, PGA had made them, I think, deemed them illegal for like a little while. They came back, but they were deemed illegal for a while because you can manipulate the disc. You basically bend the disc to make it fly correctly. And then once you do that, you're manipulating the disc, which is changing the flay of the disc, which is technically illegal by the PGA standpoints.
Well, and
And
the rim, you know, is thinner in some areas than in
yeah, it's
others.
elliptical. It's elliptical. Yeah, it's offset. It's offset. Yeah,
I've never seen a
it's
disc like
totally
that.
weighted on one side. Sebastian used to throw them. Sebastian Marshall. I don't know if you've ever seen him throw an epic,
Yeah, I
and
think I
it
have. Yeah.
he does a double flip.
Yeah.
And then flips up to high, like onto its straightaway, and then it hyzers, and
Yeah.
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then like I've seen Sebastian hit like five, like easily 500 feet with one of those
Yeah,
things.
we called it the WD, the wacky do. You know, you have your upside down shots, your UDs, and we call the WD, the wacky do.
Yeah. So. You ever seen the footage of someone throwing a Vulcan like that? There's footage with a double doing the double flips, throwing either a tomahawk or throwing a thumber, and doing the full on double flip, so it flips up and rides normal in the hyzers.
Huh. Wild.
And it's crazy because it's like such a weird. It's like a simahawk, you know, like where he throws the most understable disc he can find, and it flips and rides like a, you know, like a tomahawk. Mm-hmm. It's really just a crazy shot.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now that we went from talking about crazy shots and specialty discs, I guess the next thing that we'll discuss is the ice bowl that, you know, you've been helping or basically directing, running this thing for over a decade, right? It's basically been over 10 years. And sounds like you've raised over, you know, $100,000. So I got to plug in my computer.
Gotta have battery life to do our podcast.
How long has the ice bucket been running in Vermont? Sorry.
So this is the 15th year, although we can't have the actual event this year. We're still calling the 15th because we're raising money online. But I think Pete Hess and Ben Parker might have been the first ones to actually do it. The first records we have, 2007. But I feel like they told me they ran it for like a year or two with just a few of them out there, you know. And they said, hey, let's put in some money and donate it to the food shelf. But when we officially got ice bowl status was 2007. And that year we raised $557. And then I first played my ice bowl. I think it was 2009 was my first one. And then I took it over. I think I helped on the next one and I took it over that year. I'd have to look, but, it's been right around 10 years or so that I've been running it. And, Charlie Chamberlain, I don't know if you guys know Charlie, he's been gone for quite some time now, but he's a fundraiser. He's executive director for Democracy for America. And he's always been a big fundraiser and he's a disc golfer. And he was like, you know, we got to set a goal and I think we can increase the goal $1,000 every year. And I said, all right, let's do it. Great idea. And so that's what we did. And so every year, you know, we raised $557. And I think our goal the next year was like 2000. And then we'd go to 3 and 4. And then some years we'd leap our goal. And so we'd go, you know, we'd raise 7 instead of 6. So we'd make the next year 8 our goal. And so we peaked out 2015. We raised $15,153. So that was our biggest year. And then we've slowly gone down a little bit since then. But it's hard to raise that much money and keep that much momentum, but you know, I think we're going to bring it back. It's interesting. I put a Facebook post up and it's interesting to look at the numbers because we kind of, you know, went up, 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 and now we're going down, 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 but I think we're going to go back up, up, up again as, you know, the sport grows and people get excited about, you know, this ice bowl. And, I reached out to Rick who runs ice bowls, just this week and said, hey, where does, you know, so now we're up over $109,000 raised from our ice bowl here in Vermont. And I said, where does that put us all time? And he said, either fourth or fifth all time. And Denver's up there at number one. And then I think it was Charlotte, North Carolina and St. Cloud, Minnesota was a heavy hitter for a number of years. And then, you know, we jumped in and started to pull our weight here. So, yeah, we're not having the event this year, but we're raising money online. So anyone that's listening, you know, reach out to Disc Golf Vermont and if you want to donate.
So what are you asking for? Like, what are we doing as far as donations go?
You know, just people that have donated in the past, they're just sending in checks or PayPals. Some people are doing some auctions. I auctioned off a bunch of stuff. Tyler Woods auctioned off a bunch of stuff. I'm going to do another auction here coming up soon. I'm trying to gather some more things for that one.
I have something for you.
Yeah. And then, you know, we've done so many things over the years, you know, between fundraiser beers, raffles and, you know, basket, you know, last year we raffled off an Innova Sport basket and, So we, you know, I got the farmhouse to do a dollar of every burger, special burger sold during the month of January. So, yep. You know, every year we come up with something different. And so this year we're up over 2,000 raised right now. So, you know,
that's awesome.
I think we can double that and at least get the food shelves, you know, a few thousand bucks this year. And then next year we'll be back strong.
Yeah. I think that we can definitely help definitely plan on us for next year for sure.
Yeah. It's a fun event.
I think we can maybe have more than one.
Next year. Yeah.
I think Vermont's ready for more than one ice bucket event.
Like how we discussed about like taking small portions of funds from individual events, and
that's what Denver does. You know, they do a Winter Warrior series, and that's how they're always number one. Is they raise money, you know, for 6 months straight, you know.
Yeah.
They have a lot of players. So we have it a little, we have a taller task because we've never, you know, 70 players is our max. We're usually around like 50 to 60. Some of these ice bowls, I look at the numbers, there's like 230 players that come out, you know.
Yeah, but we're not that far off. So let's just
We
just tap into like a couple more events and we just like, I think we can, I think there's a possibility for us to do a couple new things.
Yeah.
Especially like, you know, if next winter, if we're able to do the winter challenge that we discussed, you know what I mean? We can take a portion of every round, whether it's just like $1 per person, right? Per round. And then you just like throw it in a little pot. And I know it may not add up to thousands of dollars, but it adds
not too much to ask for people.
You know what I mean?
Honestly, for a fundraiser.
Yeah, there's some, you know, we did the Zero Gravity Night. That was super fun. We couldn't
do that this
year. Yeah, Brewery Disc Golf. That raised like a couple $1,000. So that was big. I'm talking to some folks about doing a special canned beer next year, too. Like, totally Ice Bowl related. So, you know, there's definitely some things that we could do to raise some good money.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. I think that would be a great thing, having an ice bowl beer.
What was it? Paul Saylor at Zero Gravity, he was talking about it 1 year, and he wanted to call it Ice Bowl Bach or Ice Bucket Bach or something. He wanted to do an ice Bach, you know?
So
That was a pretty fun play on words.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Nice. I guess, you know, talking to some of your customers here, do you got any new, does Disc Golf Vermont got any like new apparel or like any new stuff that you're offering folks right now that you want to advertise?
Got the artwork out for 2021. I just got the stickers today in the mail, actually. So I ordered like 200. I've been using Sticker Mule. It seems to be the easiest, quickest thing for me. Yeah. And so I ordered those and they were here like, you know, 6 days later. And so I got some round, Disc Golf Vermont, stickers. Then I also got some, bigger ones that I'm going to throw a couple on my truck. And so we got some new stickers in, and then the apparel's coming soon from Paragon, but it'll be here before the tour starts. So over the next like month or two, February, March are going to be big order months.
Did you change the logo?
What's that?
Nice.
Did you change the logo?
Just the new 2021 stamp, you know, every year will be a new stamp. And so the, we got, you know, we sort of have a tree theme going, you know, year number one, was a goddess of agriculture planting the roots, you know, that was our first year. So we kind of, that was our planting the roots year. And then last year, you know, we had the tree growing, and then this year the tree continues to grow and there's a basket on the hillside. So there's a little story with it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And so,
you posted that.
Yeah. So we have our you know, I think it's fun to mix it up every year instead of having just one logo.
And that sticker you got?
What's that, bud?
That's a sticker you got?
Yeah. Yeah. Just got a bunch of those in. Yeah. They look great.
Is it color or is it black and white?
Black and white.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
You think we'll actually get any engraved Disc Golf Vermont Grip 6 belts? Because I like my Disc Golf Vermont belt, but, you know, my Grip 6 belt, but the label's starting to rub off because I've worn it so much. And And like, do you think we'll ever get any of the engraved ones? Do you think you'll ever be able to engrave them, like, you know, the mountainsides, or like the way that the Grip Six has like the tree,
Yeah,
you know,
cut
where they
like
like
right
cut
through it,
out the
directly through
metal?
it. Yeah.
Yeah, you think there'll ever be any Disc Golf Vermont
It
like
sounds like we
Grip
might have
Six like cut through the metal?
to. Yeah. You know, I haven't
Yeah.
really explored a whole lot with, you know, what I ordered a bunch of, you know, I sent them, you know, our artwork, and we could only, you know, the DGVT with the mountains and the whole colorful scene, you know, obviously we couldn't really pull that off on a belt buckle because it's so small. So we could only kind of just get the Disc Golf Vermont lettering in there, but I think that would, you know, making it so it doesn't rub off like that would be a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, ever since I
Yeah,
bought the belt
they're
from you,
awesome.
I've like worn it every day. So it's like starting to wear off though, and I'm like,
Yeah,
all right,
no,
well, I
I'm
want it to
also
like
set up
last
as a Darn
forever.
Tough dealer now, so you're going to see a lot of Darn Tough socks at Disc Golf Vermont this year.
Oh, that's great.
So I wanted to really use a Vermont company, and obviously Darn Tough is, you know, the biggest sock, you know, manufacturer in the state and one of the leaders in the country. So I got set up for that, and so I'm going to order a bunch of Darn Tough stock stuff, but
Awesome.
I'm going to work with them hopefully to get a, you know, custom Disc Golf Vermont Darn Tough sock here, but
That's awesome.
it won't be this year. It's going to take some time,
Nice.
so I'm hoping 2022.
That's fantastic, man.
So
They're like the best socks you can buy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wear those socks all the
Yeah,
time.
me too,
I mean,
man. That's
I
my
wear the
favorite
army
sock I've
socks.
ever
My
owned in my
wife,
life. Sales.
my wife went to one of the discount days and bought
Yeah.
like 200 pairs of socks in one day, and like
Yep.
I have like a
Yeah,
lifetime
we'll carry good
supply of those
value, bro.
socks.
You know, ski, like long ones, short ones, all sorts of different colors, you know.
Cool.
Try them all out.
Nice. Dude, they're really, I love them. It sounds stupid, but growing up in the Midwest, where like I never really
Yeah.
wore good socks until I came to Vermont. And then I started wearing the military socks, and I was like, wow, so this is what really
And they're
good socks feel like.
lifetime warranty.
You
So
know,
like I have some that have a hole in them right now. I'll just bring them into OGE here, local sports store, and just bring in the old socks, and they say, "Yep, go grab a new pair." So, yeah, it's a,
yeah.
you know.
Oh, wow. To be honest with you, I haven't had any of the socks that I bought,
Me too.
which is years ago, wear out. Like, I think that they're that good a sock. You know what I
Yeah, the
mean?
military ones are the best, in my
Yeah.
opinion, but
I wear out the ones that I wear like every day. Like I have a couple pairs that
Yeah,
I
you
just
should.
love, and so I just wear them so much. I'll run in them and then wash them a lot, and so you know I'm really beating them. Those are the only ones I seem to rip.
Yeah. They're thin too, I would imagine.
Yeah, they're the th little
Sure.
thinner ones. I don't like a super
Yeah.
thick sock, so
Yeah, I don't like thin socks.
yeah.
I'm a thick guy. I need a thick sock.
All right. The
International
NAGT, right?
Amateur
Did I
Disc
say that
Golf.
right?
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is kind of a mouthful. You know,
Yeah.
we hear it through the grapevine. Obviously, you told
California
us
Raisins, or
that there's going to be a couple of.
do
Yeah,
you remember
they
that?
are
Do
raisins.
you remember that? Like Claymation? You guys are both old enough to remember this shit. Yeah, exactly. You guys are both older than
Yeah, I
me,
do
so.
remember that.
Yeah,
I'm
you're the youngin'.
100% remember.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? You old
Yeah. So as we discussed, there'll be two events this year in Vermont.
Yeah,
You want to talk
so
about those and
last
like where
year
they would
was, I
be?
think, the first NADGT event in Vermont ever, that I know of. And Lewis and Will ran that at Center Chains, and I think there was 94 players right around that. And so a big turnout. The NADGT crew, you know, Felberg, Dave Felberg, sort of heads that up. You know, when I first started playing disc golf, I met Dave. So we've kept in touch over the years. He reached out in the fall and said, "Your event was one of the top 10 around. And so we want to, you know, have you guys come back and do more." Lewis obviously moved to Colorado. And so he was, Felberg was kind of leaning on me. And so I said, "Sure, I'll run two of them. I'll run a Southern Vermont one and a Northern Vermont one, and that'll give our players, you know, that are in the northern part of the state a chance to compete." And you know, you could do both if you wanted, but the Southern Vermont qualifiers in Brattleboro. That's June 12th through 13th, and that's a B tier. And the Brattleboro course is definitely one of the new up and coming courses that everyone should check out. We're running one of our tour events there. And then the Northern Vermont qualifiers at Center Chains, that's August 7th and 8th, and that's a B tier as well. And, you know, if it, the top, I would say go to the NADGT website and look at all the specifics if anyone's interested in competing in one of these events. But, you get it if you're one of the top finishers in your division, then you earn a spot to go to the championships in Austin, Texas, which is October 28th through 31st. And, they've touted it as, one of the biggest payouts in disc golf. 1 year, a guy walked out of there with a brand new car.
Last year they walked out with 50 grand, I thought.
Yeah, there's, it's a big, big tournament. And so a lot of people are, so they had to cancel the championships this 2020 fall. So all those players that were invited to that one are going to be invited to the finals this year. So we have some locals that I don't know if they're going to be able to go or not, but there's like Leffler,
Tyler Woods.
Tyler Woods. Yeah. I don't know if, hopefully one or two of them will go and represent Vermont, but this year we've got these two events. They're both B tiers. Then they're both going to be on, I picked two of the courses that I think are best suited for these events. The Brattleboro tournament, and that course is strategically located right near Mass and New Hampshire. So we'll see a lot of players from that area. And then the Southern Vermont players will have a chance to not have to drive, way up here to compete.
Yeah, for sure. That sounds awesome. I mean, it sounds like a great opportunity for some amateurs to have some professional experience, to go compete on like a professional stage and, like really win some actual, win money?
I'd have to, I don't know. Do you know Lemieux?
As far as I understand, so the winner of the entire tour, can choose to accept cash and basically become a professional.
Right.
And then win like a large sum of money.
Yeah.
Or he can choose to basically remain an amateur and then he gets funny money.
Yeah.
A large sum of funny money.
Yeah. So someone,
that's my understanding. I could be wrong about that situation. I haven't looked at the specifics. I was following it pretty last year. I followed it for a while, but
yeah. No, that's how I understood it too. I don't know. Sometimes things change every year with a lot of these tools.
Kyle Klein, the new Discmania Ripper, won it.
Mm-hmm.
Like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Josh is leaving.
He'll be back.
I guess. So we're drinking.
Yeah. So, NADGT, we'll see. I'm sure there'll be a lot of players that are going to want to come out and try to get, an invite to go to that, because it's a pretty cool opportunity for an amateur to get on a national stage, and they'll have cameras there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So
I think I'm going to play it this year.
Yeah.
With Butters.
Pretty much, I think last year we determined that Clayton was the only player in Vermont that actually couldn't play in it.
Yeah, you have to be you have to be under 970.
Yeah, actually we found out that actually myself was the other one, because
too much money.
Yeah, 2,500 in 17 years. Yep. Yeah, so I won too much money, quote unquote.
Money bags over here. Young Bucks, the money bags. Yeah. Oh, I messed that up, Josh. I'm sorry.
Well, no, it seems like it's a pretty cool opportunity, though, for some folks to have some fun, man. Well,
speaking of fun. Let's talk about the tour. Disc Golf Vermont Tour. I feel like we haven't really touched base really on this that much. As far as I'm concerned, I want to, give you a whole... This is amazing, Chris. Like, what you put together this year is incredible, man. Like, you set up a massive tour with 6 B tiers right now.
Yeah,
6. That's huge.
Yeah,
that's massive. That's 750 added cash to 6 different events, right?
Yeah,
possibly seven.
Yeah, there's a chance that we might get one more, waiting on one more sponsor.
That's massive.
Yeah.
In a very small state, bud. That's like, congratulations. That's super exciting.
Yeah, thanks. A lot of talking to sponsors, you know, to make that happen, of course.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I think we're going to give them something pretty awesome. And so they're all psyched. We got Martell's at the Red Fox back.
Hey, Matt.
And yeah, Matt, and he wanted to give even more this year. So we, you know, we're able to do even more. We got Innova back, of course. We got Stowe Cider back. I lived in Crested Butte with the owner of Stowe. So a couple of years ago, I reached out and said, hey, you want to get into disc golf maybe? And they said, maybe, yeah, that sounds kind of cool. So now we're, you know, I've been having some meetings with them. We're going to even do more stuff this year where they might some event, some sampling and stuff. And we got Burlington Beer Company back again for year number two. And so we're hoping they'll be out to some events. You know, we have seven events on private property and six on public. So there's opportunities to, you know, for camping and for tastings and for mini golf and glow golf. And so we got a ton of stuff lined up. Lawson's is, it's not official yet, but I think it's almost official. So we got three breweries. One's a cidery and two breweries. And then we have Smugs, of course. They've been a longtime supporter. And so they're back on board as a tour partner. And then the last one's Concept Move, which is our latest sponsor announcement that came on this week. They're a gym in Williston. And so we're going to be getting into some things with them as far as like disc golf, workouts, nutrition. They're going to be on site at least an event or two. And Scott McCamp, who's going to be helping me run some tournaments this year, goes to that gym and knows those folks and kind of helped us line that up. And so he's going to work with them on doing some disc golf, like off season workouts, you know, pre-tournament workout stuff. So
that's awesome.
pretty excited about them.
That's exciting. Yeah. So Scott McCamp is going to be a new crew member in Disc Golf Vermont.
Yeah, so Lewis looks like is almost guaranteed to be sticking around Colorado. He's got a good thing going out there, and he wants to stick around and see that out. So reached out to Scott McCamp and Tristan Whitehouse, and they're going to help be assistant tournament directors.
Okay.
And they're going to kind of split the tour. You know, be myself and Will, and then either one of them will be there. You know, they both might be at some of the events, but a majority of them, it'll just be one of them because, you know, they looked at the calendar and said what they can and can't do as far as time commitment wise. So
awesome. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but there's, like I said, there's going to be, you know, six public courses used and seven private courses. Right now we have six B tiers and six C tiers. Those, you know, numbers might tweak a little bit, but it's getting pretty locked in at this point. Most of the private courses will offer camping. You know, we have up at Johnny's in Cold Hollow. They'll be camping up there. They'll be camping at Callis. There's camping at Base Camp. There's hopefully going to be some camping at the Southern Vermont event. I need to still lock that in. We're working with them to look at a campground that's nearby.
Oh, cool.
To be able to have like music and camping and, oh, wow. And everyone after their round can go there and hang out. And So those that don't offer on-site camping, there's always camping, you know, nearby. We're in Vermont, so state parks, you know. I recommend, you know, Airbnb, yeah. Splitting those with friends ends up being pretty economical. So I know some folks are already lining up a couple Airbnbs that they've told me about in the Bennington area. I'm going to bring the mini golf course to two events. It's looking like Run for the Border and Magic Mountain. I'm going to bring the full 18-hole mini course, and we're going to set up some mini golf and have it available all weekend. Just out, go play whenever you want.
Cool.
And we'll probably have some prizes for like top score or something fun, you know? And then Team on the Fly is going to be setting up Glow. It looks like at about five or six of them.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to set up, not exactly sure which ones, but we're kind of trying to work that out. But there should be some really fun Glow stuff going on too.
Nice.
So yeah, 13 total events. is definitely my favorite tour schedule yet that I've put out, I would say.
That's an exciting year in Vermont for disc golf.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, so that's 13 tournaments. And then you got the two NADGTs. We got Green Mountain Champs.
And that's not including GMC. I mean, that's like.
Yeah. So, you know, we will be running 16 tournaments this year. Yeah. So big, big year.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, congratulations.
Yep.
Do I still get to play GM?
Yeah, and have to make you a new cardboard GMC trophy, dude.
Well, yeah, yes, that'll me.
I still got it. That thing is hanging. I'm gonna hang that cardboard trophy in the barn forever.
If he's playing M40, I'm beating him.
Yeah, I got the real one, the non-hand right up here. One. Yeah, dude, okay, I put them next to each other. That way they look the same.
Forgot Andrew did do the GMC. Andrew Rich with the Orbital Creations did the GMC trophies.
Oh yeah, last year. He did so many trophies.
Yeah.
And then I got to give a shout out to my friend Rockwood real quick because he gave this to me for my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. But I was just trying to make a joke.
Yeah.
About the.
We'll be running the AM side. I'm not sure how many players we're going to be able to have.
So will I qualify my wonderful status? Yeah. I know that I'm such a professional golfer.
I'm pretty sure most will like, I be allowed it's to much play like the NADGT events where I think most of us Vermont players would, if we wanted to, could play AM.
Yeah. Well, I think I've made a total of $15. Yeah, my professional career, man, all the matches that have like
money. I made more money than Josh in 1 year than he has.
Yeah, for years and years and years, you know, there was no sanctioned tournaments in Vermont, so it's like, how much money have you won? Well, it's like, well, a lot of it's unrecorded, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Very much so. Nice. Well, that was going to be one of the next questions is like, what's in store for the GMC? Like, is it basically just, is disc golf
Vermont just taking so over we'll the AM side? So we'll run the AM side and then Jeff and his crew will run the Pro Tour side. And the AM side is going to be 3 days. You'll get two, I think it's Brewster, Fox, Brewster. It's, we got to do the opposite of whatever the pros are doing. And so I think it's Brewster, Fox, Brewster, if I'm not mistaken.
So
this
be
is
like
the first
year
it's going to be A tier though. I talked to Jeff and said, you know, it really is an A tier event, really. Like it has the feel, it has everything, you know, so let's make it an A tier. So,
but only 3 days and not four.
I'm not sure why Jeff put in the sanctioning, and he did that, and I'm not exactly sure what his thinking was behind the 3 days versus four. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's tradition, like it's always been that way. But I'm not
the
sure.
Last time it was an A tier was four days.
Well, the AM side's never been an A tier.
I thought it was the time because it was 4 days the time that I got second.
Yeah, it's always been a B tier, but like I said, it's always had that A tier, you know.
Interesting. Feel. Yeah, I mean, it always has an A tier. Like it was 4 days last time I played it, like the last GMC that I played, and it was 4 days. I thought it was A tier, but I guess it's a B tier. So
I got to look at the dates. I imagine it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, because it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I remember.
So yeah, that's you know. Two B tiers at Smugs and an A tier. So Smugs, you know, and getting the love that I think it deserves.
That's double, in my opinion.
I mean, and Vermont championships, right?
So
Vermont championships as well.
Vermont States and then GMC. And then, you know, I guess I'll just real quick say that I'm also running a Disc Golf Vermont's running a PDJ league at Smugs as well on Thursdays. So there's a lot of action.
What about what about the Tuesday thing
Tuesdays
as well?
At Waterbury, you're still doing the Tuesday thing at Waterbury? Smugs, PDJ Flex Start. It'll be 12 weeks. Last year, we with COVID, we kind of were just, you know, waiting to see what was happening, and we weren't able to do a full 12-week PDJ league, which is sort of, you know, what a lot of leagues around the country that are doing PDJ leagues do. You can do a 12-week league or a 6-week league. And so last year we did a 6-week one, but this year we're going to do a 12-week league. Starting at the end of May when daylight's a little bit more friendly, and, cool, and stopping when daylight starts to, we start to lose it. So, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. As long as it doesn't cut into my, I remember, you know, my some leagues where you did meta. Both. But
that's the beauty of Flex Start.
Yeah,
sometimes you showing up at 7 o'clock in the morning. You had to specialize the friggin' league so I could actually get in.
Right,
I could only play in the morning.
That's one of the most beautiful things about Flex Start is like you could go play two leagues in one day.
But if it's Fox Blues, then I ain't playing shit.
Yeah. For our listening audience, Josh Lemieux only likes Fox Golds.
Fox Golds and Fox Whites. Fox White, Fox, shit. Fox White, Fox Blue, exactly. Bullshit.
He does like Fox. He just doesn't like the blue.
I don't like. Yeah,
he's not. He's not a gray person. Like, he's, you
well,
know,
half black half the blues on Fox are actually the golds. So half
not
the
half.
Yeah, eight holes.
That's not half.
That's one hole.
That's not half. If you're gonna say half, then you better say nine.
The 43.5%
That's better. That's better.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, that sounds like this golf of mine. You know, it's a long summer ahead of them. You know. Yeah. Yeah. So while instead of talking about that stuff, now let's. Let's just have some fun personally. What is
for
your favorite game?
We discussed this last night.
What do you?
I wish I would have thrown the turn. You know, 2 years ago was the first time I threw the turn. And
2 years ago, if you threw a turn 2 years ago, you would just turn into a roller. You just got old, and that's what happened.
Yeah, I remember I was at Todd Holmes' house, and I was like, I'm going to try one of these new Innova discs I just got. I got to, you know, give this a try. And I threw it on hole one, and it just took off. And I was like, oh, my God, I love this thing. First throw ever, I knew it. And I just, you know, I can throw it smooth. And like we were saying last night, you know, I can throw it, and it flies. You know, I don't have to ream on it to get it to go far.
You throw it good.
Definitely
you
the turn.
Throw it really, really well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to say about a disc that's easy to throw. You know, like us older guys, you know, we just
and
can't
I've worked
throw
it a little bit. Like you know, like, I sometimes you know, I mean, throw it on hyzer and it hyzers and then I lost my sidewinder last year, and so one hole at Holmesy's.
I was there.
It's I think it's 16, and you got to do an Annie, and so I said, geez, I never thought about throwing a turn here, but I don't have my sidewinder, so I'm just going to give it some wicked Annie. And it was like, whoa, I can birdie this hole with this thing. All right, sweet.
Yeah, you force the Annie with it and it flattened up.
Yeah, so you know, I'm still learning to throw it in different ways.
Are you still only throwing star ones, or did you get one of those champ ones that are stable?
Yeah, star.
Did you get a champ one for the win?
No, but I was talking to Sarah Nicholson at Innovo the other day on the phone, and somehow the turn came up. And, I was saying how I sell a ton of them because I push them when someone says, what should I get? I say, well, turn. And she was like, oh, I love them. I throw my champ ones. And she just goes down pretty far in weight on them, you know? So I might try throwing some, like, low 160 champ turns.
She's got a halo, dude. The halo ones are the most stable ones.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you what. My favorite –
yeah,
my favorite Enigma is a 168. So I throw the farthest that I've thrown.
Yeah,
an Enigma,
that's what most of my turns are.
It's a 168
disc. Or 168, 167. Yeah. I have a couple 166s.
Yeah. Yeah. So we want to talk. So Josh and I were talking earlier before you came on the show. I need to talk to your bosses because I need
man,
some G-Star
it's hard to
Thunderbirds.
Get anything right now. Actually, I think Thunderbirds are one of the discs I can actually get right now.
G-Star? I don't think G-Star is like something you can't even find.
Yeah, but is it G-Star?
I know. I didn't see any G-Star on the list, I don't think. I'd have to look again.
Dude, you need to give me some Colin but, Thunderbirds. That's the only disc I want.
Yeah, I just want some. I don't even care what name they have on them. I just want simple G-Star Thunderbirds. That's what I'm looking for. To me, that's my favorite ANOVA disc, man. I love the G-Star Thunderbird, but like I was telling Josh, it's like once I became addicted to it, and then all of a sudden I realized that they didn't make more of them. I was like, well, like
I didn't buy 20.
What am I supposed to do here? Like I love it, but like where do I get them? You know, I would totally buy.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna note it down.
To be honest with you, I would buy a 10 pack. No problem.
You know, I don't know what.
I like 169 weight.
There you go.
And they're pink. Pink. I like pink too. Nice. Yeah, it's just one of those things. Like Josh and I were talking about it because that's one of the things that we were discussing earlier. Is like how it's. You know, I mean, I guess it's good for manufacturers, but, you know, the price of discs have gone up, obviously, right? Compared to like when you and I used to buy discs. Like we used to buy a really nice disc, like Champion bucks, Plastic, for like $13, $14. Yeah. So, like, obviously now you're paying $20 a disc, you know? And, but it's strange, like, how COVID is definitely, you know, cause issues with like manufacturing, and you know you're just it's kind of a bummer, but at the same time you don't even worry about that. You know, at the same time though, it's you try to like find these discs and you're like all bummed out. You're like, why can't I find that disc? You know what I mean? You can always find a Josh in a hoodie though, you know. No, so, but people don't realize what's happening because they can't see the video. but no, man, it was funny how we were talking about it because, like, I love that.
When I started talking about the Thunderbird I found the other day. Yeah, like, I just can't
find them
from Putting League or you know? Whatever. We did distance Putting League during COVID. And I found
that was a Thunderbird.
I think that's how I won that. And, like, it was like a random disc. I was like, what the fuck disc is that? I pulled it out. I'm like, that's a team stamped swirly ass Starbird. I'm like, what the? I'm like, if this thing was actually heavy, I would throw it. Like, oh.
Oh, that's right. Cause I order all in my weight.
I'm like, Lily will throw it. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. 166 to 168. That's my jam.
Yeah. Me too. 173 is my number.
My favorite's the 173.
Ranger, I want 180.
I mean, it depends.
Yeah, I like
175. I don't mess with putters that are lower than like 174.
Yeah, there's no. I don't really worry a whole lot. I just get max weight putters, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for throwing. Even though I did get some S line P2s that are 166 and 167.
Okay. Why? Just because that's all you could get?
I got them for $30 for two of them. And they're like two rings. Yeah. Yeah, and they're like brand
new. Two of them.
But they're like old runs too, so they're like good plastic.
And dang,
like, I can throw them very far.
Nice.
For a putter.
Yeah, I'm psyched to throw some Discmania stuff this year. You know, because I've never thrown anything besides the P2.
Well, that MD3 is. You've never thrown anything but a P2.
PD2.
No, you don't PD2. Throw PD2s. You throw PDs.
PDs. PDs. Sorry.
You have a PDs. Those are PDs. Old runs. Your PD runs are like $70 discs. No, like I've held that PD. You have like one of the best run PDs they ever made. And like you had two of them. Did you find the other one?
Yeah, Josh found it and I got it back. Yeah. I only bagged one.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, he lost it.
Yeah,
it was the first.
We lost it in the deep snow in my backyard.
Yeah. And then the other one just lived in the basement.
And then it sat in my barn. It probably sat in my barn for 3 months.
Okay, yeah,
so I'm gonna mug you, and then I'm gonna take this disc.
Gothberg. So they came from Gothberg. Gothberg just said, "Hey, I think you might want these."
Because they're flat run PDs.
Yeah, he gave them to me. I like them. They're like, I. Th- I think of hole seven on gold tees at Fox. I throw it and I know it's not going to go right into the OB. It just always comes back left. For some reason, I just love throwing it on that hole, on that tee shot.
Wow, you throw a driver on that?
Yeah, just to the mouth, and then and then I get into my turns.
I throw a mid.
And then it's a hard hole, but
that's a hard fucking hole.
Yeah.
If you can go par, 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 you're stoked.
So since we're talking about courses, what do you since you're getting prepared for the 2021 season, what would be your personal just fun course to play? What's your favorite course to play?
There's a few firsts this year on the tour. We got last year we had to cancel Bennington, so we're going to be able to check out Bennington. That's a first time tour stop. Run for the Borders, Jay Peak's still sorting out what their year is going to look like, so we weren't able to include them this year, but we were able to include Cold Hollow, so I'm psyched to bring them into the tour this year. Beautiful piece of property. Magic Mountain, I'm super excited about this. Matt Cody down there that runs the operations is really doing a nice job with the tees. They're going to put in a bunch of new tees and work on the course, so I'm really psyched to check out Magic. Brattleboro will be a first time tour stop this year as well. Let's see. Smugs, I always look forward to playing. And I'd say Magic is probably the one I'm really looking forward to outside of Smugs this year. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. All right. We'll tell the public. Yeah. Obviously you just said it, all the people listening.
Yeah. I mean, people need to sign up for Magic Mountain. New things. Yeah. I like playing, first of all, I love mountain golf, living out in Colorado and Oregon, played a lot of mountain golf out there at the ski areas in those states. And so I always have a soft spot for mountain golf, like true mountain golf, ski resort, mountain golf. So I'm psyched about that. They're putting in the disc golf park tee pads, which I love, which is another reason I love the Brattleboro course. Just nice, I'm a big fan of those tees if they're done right.
All turf. They're doing all turf at Magic too.
I think that's what he said they're hoping to have in by the
time. That's the reason I want to play Brattleboro, because I saw tee pads and I was like, yep, that's something
like that. Yeah. Yeah. I just, I'm a big fan of those.
Favors or AstroTurf, man. Like that's my personal favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't personally have any, problems with the turf tees. Some people might, but I don't ever slip on them no matter what. Like they hold up for me. I love them. Pavers. I guess the turf can get a little lumpy, over time. Yeah, the little spaces, sometimes in the pavers there's little spaces, and I don't know, maybe it's just it gets in my head or something that there might be a what's that?
You sound old.
Yeah. But if the pavers are done right, but some of them have spaces in between.
I hear you.
Yeah, I don't
lumpy AstroTurf is worse, I think, than spaces, though, personally.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's how you twist an ankle or something.
Or you just throws your shot off by like a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd rather just buy shoes like three times a year, because like my toe drag is horrible. So
yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, there's
That's also like
that. That's not something we talk about.
Gummy bears.
This is the second episode. We don't talk about my gummy bear problem. We're not going there.
Hey, man.
It's like pavers. Josh has to have his gummy bears.
Fuck those Albanese gummy bears. Those things are the garbage. You gotta go Haribo. Only Haribo, and that's it. Coca-Cola bottles, baby.
I like both.
Yeah. I'm elitist bullshit. Movie. There's only one way to go, and it's mine.
Yeah. The classic Haribo. Yes. Yeah.
All right. Now that I've woken up the giant, how about another question? Is if you had a favorite type of beer, since Josh and I both love beer, like what would be your favorite type of beer? It doesn't have to be a brand. Doesn't have to, you know what I'm saying? Like, what would What would be your like Belgian favorite sour, like style sure, or no like doubt. Type of beer?
Yeah, Cantillon. If I had one beer to choose right now, nice. I'd say give me a Cantillon. And that is definitely my favorite. Although nice. I do love me some Brettanomyces. Any beer with Brettanomyces in it is I love. So usually saisons with Brett, you know, even some of the Brett IPAs I like. But yeah, I love funky sour beers. I mean, I love IPAs too. That's mostly what I buy because I can't afford to buy Cantillon every week.
Where the fuck can you get Cantillon? And if you're holding out on me on Cantillon,
yeah, right.
Unless you're gonna have problems, bro. You and I are gonna have issues.
Hey, this was old. This was when I used to really be.
Well, I'm just saying, if you have like a hookup on the Cantillon front, like we need to have a talk.
Yeah.
Oh shit! I just want to get some Back Acre, dude. I haven't even tried. I've only had Back Acre once, and like,
yeah, it's a great
really good. Yeah.
After I won Chester, I might have cracked one of those on the ride home.
Oh, really? That's like one of the best. Nice.
Nice.
I actually had a bag a few Sundays ago for breakfast, but I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, you'll just have to show up that. for some breakfast at Wrightsville. One of my buddies and I, we've been cooking breakfast at like 7 a.m. at Wrightsville for years. Yeah. And we cook out right there by the pavilion on the like flat top, the grill. We get it all going. Dude, like we put like blue cheese and pears and like we make lamb chops and like all kinds of stuff, dude. And yeah, pretty much my buddy has a hookup on Back Acre. So pretty much every Sunday morning we just have a Back Acre. You know, and to me it's one of the
It's not even made in Vermont. It's like it doesn't even matter where the wort comes from. He just takes it and they just take it and blend it.
Yeah, blended and bottled. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Cool thing. I'm into that.
Yeah.
Sour saisons and IPAs, that's my jam. I'm not a dark beer guy, but if it's aged in bourbon barrels, then I'll probably, you know, dig it. But
you're gonna miss out on Sunday because I am bringing a stack of beer.
All right. Nice. And Josh, you know, I mean, we are going to be coming close to the end of this podcast, but Josh had a question.
But I guess it doesn't apply
about pillows, right, Josh?
But I was going to be curious: what brand of pillow you would enjoy crying in when you lose to the Joshes on a putt around? I just was curious: is it going to be Serta? Is it going to be like a magic pillow with a purple pillow so your tears will flow through it and you can get better, like, you know, like, I just didn't know how are you going to, like, deal with the fact that everyone will beat you with putters?
I think I need a full-on body pillow then, dude.
That's the best answer ever.
I'll cuddle it and hug it, and you know, and it'll be, you know, my little blankie for the night.
Chris, I think I'm speak for me and Josh, nice. But thank you so much for coming on. And
there you go.
We're so excited for this year of disc golf and what you've done with Disc Golf Vermont, and we thank you very much for like everything you've done for Vermont disc golf in general, not just Disc Golf Vermont, but the years on Green Mountain, the Disc Golf Club, and like we're all appreciative. I'm newer in the game, obviously, compared to you boys, but I'm very appreciative of the things that you guys have done, and super excited for this season. You know, and then super supportive of Disc Golf Vermont. You gotta check out Disc Golf Vermont and check out the tour and check out Chris's website.
Yeah, discgolfvermont.com. That has most.
Chris, what's your website?
You know,
what's your website?
Leagues, tournaments, what we do. Yeah. So definitely check it out. Thanks to you guys for having me on. And, you know, we, me and the Joshes play a lot of golf together in the old Pro Masters division typically. So we'll be doing some battles this year and it's always super fun. We got a killer Masters crew. So psyched to play some golf with you guys this year. And thanks for having me on. And, you know, we'll play a putter round real soon.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely will.
Yes, we will.
All right,
sounds
guys.
Good.
Thanks so
All
much.
right. Have a great day, bud.